today I want to speak specifically. You just really, those of us in this room who feel like we desperately need a touch from God. Does anybody in this room just, you just really need a touch from heaven today? You just really need to hear God, to experience Him. And maybe it's that problem or that challenge or that thing in our life that we don't know how to solve it on our own. We don't know how to deal with it on our own. Maybe it's that thing you've been praying about, that you've been maybe believing God for, a miracle that you need, maybe a miracle in your body, or maybe in your home and marriage. Maybe it's a miracle you're needing financially, or maybe something in the life of your children. I believe with all of my heart that this word today, if that's you, is going to speak to us today. I'm going to read from a story from Matthew chapter 9, but I want to give the context first. Jesus had actually just healed a woman who had suffered with a vicious disease for 12 years. Immediately after that, or almost in the middle of that, he's on his way to heal a young girl who now is dead, a 12-year-old girl who has died. And as you can imagine, everyone's minds are blown. And this man, Jesus, he's walked into this room where this dead 12-year-old girl is, and moments later, he and the girl together are walking out, and everybody's going crazy about this, and there's rumors spreading everywhere about this Jesus who is performing these miracles. And there was obviously these two blind men they had heard all the rumors, and they were, without a doubt, they were desperate. They were desperate for a miracle. And so we pick up their story in Matthew chapter 9, and in verse 27 it says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. The fact that they called him the Son of David indicates that they believed that he was truly the Messiah, a thought that would have absolutely made the Pharisees absolutely furious. We read in the English translation that they were crying out. That's what our English term is, but the Greek word actually has a much stronger meaning than just simply to cry out. The Greek word is a word, krazo, which means to cry out with an animalistic type cry. The same Greek word is used in Revelation chapter 22 when it speaks about a woman screaming out in labor during childbirth and birth pains. It's this animalistic cry, and that's what these guys do, because they heard that Jesus is healing, and now they're thinking, maybe, just maybe, he'll do the same for us. Maybe he can heal us. And so here's we see where they're following him, that they hear his voice, and they're following him, and they're desperate. They've been blind. Maybe they've been blind their entire lives. We don't know this, but they're crying out, Son of David, have mercy on us. In the next verse, verse 28, it says, and when he had come into the house, speaking of Jesus, the NIV says it this way, when he had gone indoors. And this is interesting because we hear these blind guys crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And there's no indication from Scripture that Jesus even acknowledges them, or even certainly doesn't reply to them. He just keeps on walking, and he goes indoors. Goes on to say, so the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them then, he says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? Jesus is asking them, just like I believe he's asking all of us today, do you believe that I have the power to make you well? And they respond to him and say, yes, Lord, we believe. And then in verse 29, Jesus touches their eyes, saying this. He says, according to your faith, hear that, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were open. Their sight was restored. Notice that it wasn't according to their income. It wasn't according to their social standing. It wasn't according to the what other people thought about them or their reputation. It was according to their faith. It wasn't according to whether they went to church or not every Sunday. It was according to their faith. And this is the encouraging and faith-building part of this story for us to know that God responds to faith. He responds to our faith, not our performance, not our pedigree. God responds to our faith. In fact, Scripture teaches us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. God, if I could say it this way, God loves our faith. God loves when we believe by faith or in faith. And this is a faith-building story because suddenly we realize that if we have faith, we can touch the heart of God. But at the same time, the other side to this same coin is that even though this can build our faith, for some people it can become very discouraging as well. Because sometimes in church circles, if you've been around church very long and you've been around Christian folks very long and you've listened to the Christianese lingo very much, sometimes people in certain Christian circles can be very cruel about this teaching. You might hear some people say sometimes, well, the reason God didn't do it is because you just didn't have enough faith. You just had a lack of faith. That's why God didn't perform the miracle in your life. It's when God does something great, he gets the credit, and he should. But isn't it crazy how oftentimes when he doesn't do it, we get the blame? That doesn't really make a lot of sense. You hear things like, you didn't pray right. You didn't have enough faith. You didn't pray long enough. You didn't pray hard enough. You didn't get enough of other people praying with you. If you'd had the right quota of people praying with you, it would have happened. You didn't end your prayer the right way. You weren't shouting loud enough when you prayed. You weren't binding devils whenever you prayed. In other words, you just didn't have enough faith. And so while, yes, God does honor faith, and that is very true, at the same time, many of us live under a false sense of guilt, believing that somehow we did something wrong when we don't receive the desired outcome that we had in our heart and mind. Which raises the question then, what kind of faith does God honor in our lives? What kind of faith does he honor in our lives? We know that faith moves the heart of God. We know that God responds to and that he honors faith. So what kind of faith does God honor? And through this story, I'd like for us to just look at three different types of faith that I believe God honors. And number one is this: God honors a faith that believes even when it doesn't see. God honors faith that believes when it doesn't see. God honors a faith that believes when it doesn't see. Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen, and it gives us assurance about the things that we can't even see with the natural eye. In fact, this is what happens in our story in Matthew 9, when Jesus had gone into the house, the blind men who couldn't even see physically followed him into the house. And he asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And long before they saw the results, long before the scales began to fall off their eyes, long before they could see anything physically, they said, yes, Lord, we believe. We believe even though we cannot see. I would ask the same question of us today. If we take whatever that massive challenge is in our life that we're facing, whether it's a relationship issue or challenge, a physical challenge in our body or financial, spiritual, a challenge in our marriage, do you believe that God is able to hear your prayer and to answer on your behalf? Do you believe? Do you believe that all things are possible with God? Do you believe that he is able? Do you believe even when you can't see it? Just like he asked the blind men that day, I believe he's asking all of us today, do you believe? Do you believe in my power? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Now, I know what the churchy answer is today. I know what we're trained to say in the church. Oh, yes, praise God, hallelujah. I believe. I believe he can, and I believe he will, because that's what we're trained to do when we're in church. But what about when you get slapped with that thing first thing on Monday morning, and you're not hearing the preacher preach, and they're not singing the worship songs, and you're not standing around all of your faith-building friends? What about then? So oftentimes our actions and our words show the truth of what we really believe. Because our actions often indicate that we do not believe. And even our words will do the same. I found lately, especially over the last 2 to 3 years, I have found that my conversations, I found that a lot of the words coming out of my mouth, a lot of the criticism, a lot of the things I'm talking about and that I'm dialoguing with others about, sometimes monologuing about just any listening ear that there is, I find that I'm talking about a lot of things that I'm not praying about. Is anybody else guilty like me? I'm talking about a lot of stuff, and I got a lot of opinions on a lot of things, and I'm pontificating on a whole bunch of stuff that's not even entering into my prayer life. Let's be honest and ask ourselves the question, in the last 7 days, what were you praying about faithfully every single day? For most of us, if we're being honest, for most of us, it probably wasn't too much. What we pray about reflects what we believe about God. Think about it for a minute. If we don't pray about much, that shows that we really don't believe that God is active in our everyday lives. We don't believe that God is involved. We don't believe necessarily that He really cares. If we don't pray about much, that really shows what we believe about God. On the other hand, if we're praying for some really big things, that indicates that we believe in a really big and powerful God who can perform the impossible. I'd say it this way, the size of our request reveals the strength of our faith. What we pray about reveals what we believe about God. Jesus asked the question, do you believe I'm able to do this? Do you believe God is able to heal a marriage that has gone completely wrong? Do you believe that God can help you overcome an addiction that has plagued you for years and years? Do you believe that the name of Jesus is bigger than any sickness you may face, and that He can overcome, that we can overcome, and that He can bring healing and deliverance? Do we believe that? Do we believe that all things are possible with God? Because a faith that honors God is a faith that believes even when I do not see. And the second kind of faith that honors God is a faith that persists even when nothing changes. A faith that persists when nothing changes. A faith that keeps going, if you will. A faith that doesn't have any quit to it. A faith that continues. Think about this. These guys, they're crying out. They're crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And then what does Jesus do? He just keeps on walking. He just walks indoors. He just goes into the house. And so what do these guys do? They follow Him. For most of us, we're offended at this point. God, I thought you were going to do this. I thought you're doing it for everybody else. Why? And you're ignoring me. I feel like I'm the poor little guy over in the corner at the dance that nobody wants to dance with now. But what do? They just pursue after Him. You can almost sense there's this determination that says we're going to follow Him until He either heals us or kicks us out. But we're not going away. We're not going anywhere. We're going to keep believing and we're going to keep persisting. We're going to follow Him no matter what. We're going to stick with Him because the stuff He does works. We're going to stick with Him. We're going to follow Him. And if He heals us, He heals us. If He tells us to go away, He'll tell us to go away. But we are going to follow Him. God honors a faith that persists even when nothing changes. Anybody ever been there before? You prayed, you believed. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. In fact, I love what Colossians 4:2 says about prayer. It ties into the Philippians text that we talked about last Sunday about praying with thanksgiving and bringing our requests to the Lord with thanksgiving. He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. Another version says, being persistent in it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. We are to be persistent, vigilant, persistent in prayer, giving thanks to God continually. What this text is instructing us to do is to give thanks to God for something that has not even happened yet. Yes. That is faith. That's what faith is. A lot of times we think faith is being able to see mighty things happen. If I can speak this enough, or I can declare this enough, or I can raise lame people out of wheelchairs, or I can go into hospital rooms and pull people out of beds, or dead people out of caskets. If I can do these things, that's faith. I'm the man of faith of the hour with power. But that's not faith at all. That's just seeing God demonstrate something through your hands and through your prayer or what have you. Faith is trusting God and believing God even when it doesn't happen. That's what faith is. That's what real faith is. Persistent prayer, continuing to pray even when things do not change. In fact, Jesus told a great story about this persistent widow in Luke chapter 18. He said there was this widow that kept going back to this unrighteous, this unjust judge, and she was hounding him and bothering him, and she kept doing it, and she was persistent, like one of those just little gnawing little chihuahuas at your heels all the time, just persistent. In fact, Jesus said that she kept troubling the unjust judge and was making him weary till finally he just said, "This woman is driving me crazy." And so the unrighteous judge finally said, all right, enough already. Whatever you want is yours. And Jesus said, see what the unjust judge did? Shall God not do so much more for his children who cry out to him? If an unrighteous judge would be moved by the persistence of someone, how much more would a loving father respond to the faithful, persistent prayers of his children? God responds to faith that does not give up when nothing changes. I know without a doubt that there are those listening to me today, there's those in this room today who have been praying about some things for a long time. That there's been some things that's been on your constant prayer list all the time. They're at the top of the list. You call it out every day, and no doubt there's this voice possibly that keeps creeping in to your heart and to your mind telling you, why are you still praying? Why are you still believing? God will never do that. It's not going to happen. Look at the reality. You need to get a reality check, man. But I want to tell you that a faith that honors God is a faith that persists. I'm so thankful for the persistent prayers in my life. I'm thankful for a mama that's sitting right over here to my right today that prayed persistent prayers when she didn't see it happening in her children's life, or she was wanting to see this design, and she just kept praying. Everything looked like it wasn't going to happen, but she kept praying. And all of you got praying mamas or grandmamas or great aunts or somebody in your life. Thank God for the persistent prayers in our lives who said, even though things don't change and even though we don't see it, we're gonna keep believing. We'll never stop believing. A faith that honors God is a faith that persists, that continues even when they don't see it. That's the kind of faith that honors God. So the kind of faith that moves the heart of God is, number one, a faith that believes when it does not see. Number two, faith that persists even when nothing changes. And number three, the kind of faith that God honors is a faith that acts, a faith that moves even when it doesn't make sense, a faith that moves to action, faith that is moved and marked by action even though everyone else would say you're crazy. You see, there's a big difference between hope and faith. Hope is a desire. Usually a desire or a hope for a certain desired outcome, but faith is a demonstration. And that demonstration is maybe sometimes what we do with our hands and feet, things that we say from our mouth, so a trust that we establish in the middle and against all odds. Hope is just an inward desire, a desire, but faith is a demonstration that moves and acts and works. In fact, James, he so powerfully described how Abraham's life was marked by action. If you don't know the story, it's one of the most faith-filled stories in all of the Bible, certainly in the Old Testament, when God begins to speak to the heart of Abraham and tells him this, gives him this most barbaric request to actually take his own son and go sacrifice him. I could not even imagine, number one, hearing God request this type of barbaric thing of me. But number two, I can't even imagine the kind of obedience it would take to follow through with that. I would have talked myself right out. I would have talked God right out. I was like, there's no way that God would ever ask me to do something like that. But that's exactly what he did. But what does Abraham do? Look at what he does. He goes and he starts gathering wood. And he goes and he gets the rope to tie up his son when they get to the top of the mountain. And he gets material to be able to start the fire. And he begins to walk up that mountain with his son. And he goes and he prepares to take the life of his son. And he's doing it in obedience to God. Works. He did what God told him to do. Even when it didn't make sense, even when everyone around would say, "You're crazy, Abraham. What? God would never do that. God would never say that." But he's obedient and he puts feet to his faith. And God, who would never actually have someone follow through with such a request, he stops it all. And he says, "You passed the test, Abraham. You have shown your faith. I am now providing you a sacrifice. There's a ram over there in the thicket. You go and you sacrifice that. You've been obedient. Now I can bless you." And here's how James describes the faith of these actions of Abraham. It's so powerful in James 2:22. He says, "Do you see that Abraham's faith was working together with his works?" His faith and his works, his faith and his actions partnered together. And by partnering his works and his faith together, his faith was made perfect. He says Abraham's faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete, not just by what he thought, not just by what he prayed, but his faith was made complete by what he did. His faith and his actions were working together. God honors a faith that works, that moves to action, even when it doesn't make sense. Think about these guys. They could have been like any one of us. If we have a problem in our lives, we all of a sudden begin to magnify that problem. All we think about is that problem, that one dilemma. We're so focused on the problem that we lose sight of any solution in the hands of God. These blind men could have been so focused on their problem that all they would say is just this: we've been blind our whole lives. I can't see, and I got to walk around with this stick all the time, and I've got to beg for money because I can't get a job. I'll never be able to have a wife. I'll never be able to have children. I'll never be able to have any kind of meaning with my life. And they would have lived under this shame like this, because in that culture, if you were born blind, they believed that you or your parents or someone did something wrong or did something to deserve it. You must have done something wrong. And so they would live with this shame, and they live with this embarrassment, and they could have lived with no hope. We're blind. We can't do anything. But maybe one of those guys had a thought. They heard some rumor mill, and they said, "You know what? I can't see, but there's some things I can do. I can't see, but I can hear. And I know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I've heard it said that there's this man named Jesus, and he's going around healing folks. I can't see, but I can hear. And I heard a rumor that he's coming this way. I can't see, but I can talk. I can talk, and I can yell. I can use these pipes that God gave me. And so I'll cry out, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' I can't see, but I can hear, and I can talk. And guess what else I can do? I can walk. So you know what? I'm going to follow that voice. Wherever it goes, I'm going to follow. You see, there's a lot of things that I can't do, but there's some things I still can do. I can wallow in my pity. I can play the victim. I can do all these things all day long, and it's going to get me nowhere. But there's some things. I may be in a bad situation, but I can stand up. I can hear. I can shake the dust off. I can begin to put feet to my faith. And then that's when my faith becomes complete. I can follow him." You've heard me say this many times, how that we're so guilty of minimizing God down to our biggest dilemma or problem at the moment. Whatever I'm facing today, I now shrink him down to whatever that is. And sometimes less than that, when I believe that he can't fix that or perform that in my life. So many times we find ourselves in the middle of a great problem or dilemma or trial, and all of our focus goes to what all we cannot do. That's where all of our focus is. In those moments, usually we've already limited God, and then we start limiting ourselves. If we'll begin to lift the limits off of God and believe that he's able to do the impossible, And we'll take our focus off of what we can't do and begin to think about the things that we can do. Then we begin to mix our works with our faith, and that makes our faith complete in God. If you're struggling in your marriage today, you may not be able to change your spouse, but what can you do? You can continue with the help of God to love your spouse as Christ loved the church and pray for your spouse. And your spouse may or may not change. It may not change them, but our prayers will always change us. And we can let God do a work in us. And our faith and our works will partner together. So I'm going to pray big. I'm going to believe big. And then I'm going to start small. I'm going to take a step. I'm going to begin to move in the direction that I feel like he's calling me to go. And I'm going to tell my faith and my works to partner together, because that's the kind of faith that honors God. When some hear this kind of message, they may say, okay, so I just have to have faith. I got to have a lot of faith, and I got to try really hard. And then God's going to answer for me. Let me be very clear today. Our faith is not in us. We've been too guilty in the Christian world of putting a lot of faith in our faith. Our faith is not in us. Our faith is not in our own faith. Our faith is always in the faithfulness of God. And when our faith is in the faithfulness of God, then we're able to trust. We can truly trust. In fact, we can trust with that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego type of faith. You talk about massive faith. I want you to hear what these little teenage Hebrew boys did standing in front of King Nebuchadnezzar. The king says to them, you're going to bow down and worship this God, and you're not going to worship your God anymore. And if you don't do what I tell you, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. What do these kids do? We're talking about high school age kids. What do they do? They say, nope, do what you want to, king. We're not going to worship your God. You can throw us in that furnace if you want to. And our God is able, and he will rescue us. But listen to what else they say. But even if he doesn't, we will still worship our God. Man, now that's massive faith. That's the kind of faith I want to have. It's the kind of faith that says, when Jesus asks, do you believe that I'm able to do this? My response will be, with every fiber in my being, God, I believe that you can and that you will. I believe that, but even if you don't, I still believe. I still believe, because my faith is not in my faith. My faith is not in my works. My faith is not even in my desired outcome. My faith is in the faithfulness of God through every season of life. I'm closing. I told you, I promised, and I did. You see, my faith is in the faithfulness of God, a God whose ways are higher than my ways, a God whose thoughts I can't even begin to comprehend, a God who is good through and through, a God who is all-powerful, who is ever-present and is all-knowing. My faith is in that God, not the desired outcomes of this natural life. I guess you might say I preached this entire sermon about faith and how it touches the heart of God and God responds to faith just so I could get to this point here, that no matter what, that's the faith that truly moves the heart of God. Says, God, I trust in your faithfulness through it all, through it all. There might be those who would say about a message like this today, you just go ahead with your blind faith. Go on with your blind faith, your simple blind faith. You just live out that blind faith. And my response would be, yes, absolutely, you're right. Blind faith. Give me blind faith any day, because I would rather be blind with faith that God can heal than have sight and no faith any day of the week. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. The kind of faith that honors God is a faith that believes even though it doesn't see, a faith that persists even though nothing changes, and a faith that acts even when it doesn't make sense. We will declare today across this room, if you'll stand with me, we're going to declare today this. We're going to declare it over our own lives. We're going to declare it over the situations and the circumstances of our lives, the season that we're living in. In a few moments, we're going to declare it over the Smith family and over Chelsea and Cole Olivo, just a few feet away from here. We're going to declare with everything within us that we believe that God can. We believe in His power. We believe that He is able, and we believe that He will. But we also declare today that even if He doesn't, we still believe. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith and not by what I see, not by what I feel, not by my circumstances, not by what happened to me or my past or my failures or my abuse that I had. I walk by faith in God and His faithfulness, and not by what I see in the natural today. Listen, I said it last Sunday, and I'm going to say it again today. And I hope that about 5 seconds ago is where they'll need to cut off the online message that'll go online. But I said it last Sunday in speaking from Philippians chapter 4, when Paul instructs us that in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that verse has just permeated in my spirit for the last several days. And each day this past week, several hours with the Smiths at their home each day and there at Julie's bedside. And if I prayed this prayer once, I prayed it a dozen times and a half a dozen times just laying my hands on her. God, I know You're able. I know that You're able to dissolve every cancer cell in this body that it has ravaged. I know, God, that You can bring restoration back to every vertebra and heal and make whole the brain and the lungs and the liver and all. You are able, God. I know You're able. And my trust is in You. I believe it. And I have to tell You today, God, that it's my desire, it's Lindsay's desire, it's Darren's desire that You would do just that. That's our desired outcome. But God, with all thanksgiving in our heart today, we say we will trust You no matter what. So guess what? At that point, we've done all we can do. At that point, there's no more, I got to declare it more, I got to say it more, I got to get more people praying, I got to have more faith, I got to pray a certain prayer. No, we've done everything that Scripture told us to do. Now, we trust. Now, we trust the faithfulness of God, knowing that He is the first and the last, that He is the Alpha and He is the Omega, that He is the beginning and He is the end of all things in our life and all things in the universe, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe and our trust is in His faithfulness and knowing that He knows all and He knows way more than we know. And so, God, we're going to walk by faith even when we hate the season we're in. We're going to trust You. I know that's the heart of the Smith family. Lindsay told me, standing in the living room, she says, I can't be mad at Him. He's been too good. He's been too faithful. I don't like this. It stinks. But I can't be mad at Him. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him. Because He's been there in those other seasons. He's been there every time. He's never failed me. Can I just remind everybody in this room? He's got a perfect track record in your life. He's never failed you. Oh, we went through some tough stuff, yeah. Oh, I had to experience loss that I didn't want to experience in the natural. But guess what? He was there then. And guess what? He's already there 6 months from now. Whatever. He's already there. It's the faithfulness of God. My trust is my faith. It's in the faithfulness of God. So, Father, today we welcome You. Come, Lord, and do what only You can do in our hearts and lives as we put our faith in You. As we take a step, God, and follow You in obedience and do do what you've called us to do as we marry our faith and our works together and knowing, God, at the end of the day, that our faith is not in us. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in your faithfulness in our lives, who has never left us. You've never forsaken us. You, God, have been faithful all the way through every season of our lives. We know that's true for the Olivos today, God. We know that's true for the Smith family. We know that is true for this amazing servant, your daughter, Julie, today, God. May they sense and feel the strength that comes from this family of faith today, God. May as Darren and Lindsay, as they look out over that yard today and they see the faithfulness of not just you, God, in their lives, but even the faithfulness of those that love them and are lifting them up today, God. Bring encouragement and strength and your power in each of their lives. Touch Chelsea in a special way today, God. I'm believing, God, I trust and believe that you're able to heal and restore her body. I believe it, God. I'll never stop believing that, God. Have your way. Jesus' name.